Yet I get to start the recorder, and now I'm opening up my Kindle, and the answer to the question, where are we, is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And that is on page 322 of the Kindle. 323 of the paperback book. Moving right along, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think isn't there only 13 chapters? Hey, we might finish tonight if we're good. You know, don't talk too much. Which would be nice since we're not going to have a meeting for a month.
How about that? It all worked out.
All right, so here we go. NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Heaven is within you. This is a statement that you may take as truth. This statement is truth, because of who you are in truth. This is exactly what I was talking to Raina about on the phone. That's funny. I was just talking to Raina about this very page in NTI. You seem to be a man or a woman, an individual soul within a body, within a world, within a cosmos. This seems to be who you are, but this is not a fact. This is a perception. It seems that you are within, meaning within the body, and everything else is without, meaning outside of the body. So the boundary is the body. This seems to be, but this is not truth. So I ask you to start with you, which you know is within the body. You know, most everybody perceives themselves as somehow within a body. And discover that the world and heaven are within you also. This seems to be a bold statement, but it is not. It is only a simple statement of fact, which you shall see as you come with me to seek within. Now again, I just want to emphasize before we get started that this is an inquiry that actually happened live with me as the scribe. So the answers that we're going to see here are the answers that were coming from me that day. All right? Okay, good. So let's start with you, which you know is within, and let's ask this question. What are you? Do not be tempted to define yourself by what seems without. Let's stay focused within. If you forget the world and everything that you perceive as not within, and then you look deeply within and ask the question I have asked, what answer comes immediately to your mind? And, you know, as this paragraph was being written, what was going on in my mind was, I can't say I'm a woman because that's defining myself on the outside. I can't say I'm a mother. You know, all these things are defining myself on the outside. So if I only define myself by the inside, what am I? And the answer that came was, I'm my thoughts. This is the answer that came. This is what I am. And so that's what got written down. I am my thoughts. That may be your answer, is it not? When you look within, where you know you are, and you ask the question, what am I? You find that you are your thoughts. What are your thoughts? Where do they come from? If you are your thoughts, and you want to know the origin of you, don't you also need to know the origin of your thoughts? So let's look within, deeply and peacefully, and without a sense of hurry. Let's ask, what are my thoughts? What is their origin? And the answer you may hear is, my mind is their origin. And that is the answer I heard. My thoughts come from my mind. But then the inquiry continues. But then ask, what is my mind? The answer to that is God. Now, actually, this wording is a little funked up here. This is the one place in NTI where it's funked up. I'm saying it funked because I don't want to swear. What happened here as the scribe was I panicked. I panicked because as we were asking this inquiry, what are you? And I saw, I'm my thoughts. Okay, if you think you're your thoughts, let's look and see where they come from. Where do your thoughts come from? My mind. And the next question, okay, so what is your mind? When I hit that boundary of what is your mind, and I started to go beyond the mind, which is exactly, I panicked. So what happened when I panicked was I started bringing into the scribal experience words from A Course in Miracles. So right here, the next two paragraphs are, as far as I know, the only two paragraphs in all of NTI that are what I would call tainted. Okay, so let's look at these words. It says, the answer to that is God, for only God can be mind. You see how I went right into the course, right into the intellect, right? For only God can be mind, which is the origin of thoughts, with thoughts being the maker or definer of you. As we look at this, what do we see? This is all just course language. You are an aspect of thought within the mind of God. And all of this we found is known and realized within the mind that is you. So those two paragraphs came out of my fear. I did not want to look before mind. But it gets taken care of on the next page the next day. So don't worry about that. It's okay. And in fact, I felt really guilty about this later. And I think it was Phil Frisk I was talking to, and I was telling him that I mucked this up because I was afraid to go. And I think it was Phil. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, other people are going to be afraid to go there too. And he said, it's okay. He goes, everything that happened when you wrote this book had to have been perfect, including the fact that you got scared. But when the teachings of Inner Ramana came years later, I felt like that was now taking me where this tried to take me and I wasn't ready. So it came. It just came at a later time. Okay, so you are in God, and God is within you. There is no separation. The kingdom of God is within you. These words are all almost unimportant. This is just what came when I quit being able to be a good scribe. You are who you are, just as I am who I am. There is no difference. We are within the mind, so that our truth is within the mind. Where our truth is, reality must be also. Okay, so all of that, after the question, what is my mind, all of that is unimportant. But now we are going to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 very easily. Now comes the next day. You are not defined by the world. You are defined by the voice within, which is where you are. This is why I ask you not to look at the world. You may remember earlier in 2 Corinthians, there's a teaching that really says when you're not yet ready to look at the world, because every time you look at the world, your mind gets sucked into it, that during that period of time, it's better to take a break from the world. And what happens when you're taking a break from the world is you're spending time in contemplation. You're spending time getting to know your voice within better. So you could kind of see yourself as like a babe being born into who you are. But you're not mature enough necessarily to be going to the office parties, watching the news, maybe hanging out with the sister-in-law if you always get sucked into gossip with the sister-in-law, because you're still kind of like a babe. And when you get back into those old environments, you just go right back into your old habits. So there's a period of time that many of us kind of, you know, it looks like we're separating ourselves from everyone. But what we're really doing is we're taking time back in aloneness to spend more time with our inner voice, more time with our spiritual material in order to mature so that we can be in the world without getting sucked into the world mentally, right? So again, you are not defined by the world. You are defined by the voice within, which is where you are. Again, you are within. This is why I ask you not to look at the world. You seem to be in a world, but if you are in the mind, the world can be nothing to you. It cannot affect you if you remember where you truly are. Now, what's happening here is Spirit is taking the faux pas of yesterday when I got scared and is starting to use it in a more positive way. And so Spirit is saying, yesterday what happened when we were looking within, as far as we got was, you thought you were your thoughts, and then you thought you were your mind. And when we started to look beyond that, of course you got scared, but let's go ahead and just stay right there where you're comfortable, your mind. If you're your mind, even your mind, right? Whatever that mind is, if you're your mind, are you really affected by things on the outside? Even as a mind. And what I started to see was that the only way I could be affected by things on the outside, even as a mind, is if I allowed my attention to go there. And what he's given me here in this same paragraph is another place for me to take my mental attention within, right? And in fact, much later, I came to realize that mind actually has different components to it. And one of the primary components of mind is attention. Attention is a component of mind. But you can take that component of mind and you can put attention on your toe, right? You can feel your toe, like it wasn't there a second ago. You weren't thinking about your toe, but now you are and you can feel your toe, right? You can put it on the air and suddenly notice whether the air is cold or whether the air is hot. You can put it on gossip and get pulled into gossip, right? You can put it on judgments and get pulled into judgments. Or you can put that same attention on your heart and feel your heart, right? So what Spirit is saying here is, you know, if you're gonna perceive yourself as a mind right now, if that's as far as you can go right now, that is still useful. There isn't anything that isn't useful. But what we want to do then is say, what are we going to do with this mind that you think you are? Where are you going to place your attention, right? Are you going to place it out there on the world where you still can get sucked into it? Or are you going to place it with this voice within that is guiding you? So again, you seem to be in a world, but if you are in the mind, the world can be nothing to you. It cannot affect you if you remember where you truly are. You are protected from it by the nature of your being. For your truth is beyond the world and beyond the images that seem to be the world. Your truth is eternal and is the truth of all thoughts within the mind of God. For what is thought in God's mind is God, just as your true thoughts are the truth of what you are. Now, verse 10. I have told you that your mind is tricky because your mind is split. But the tricks of the mind will not fool you if you remember what you are. And again, at this point, he's not talking about what we really are because I had no awareness of that. He's talking about what I believed I was, which was this, the mind, the mental mind, right? But he's saying, even at that level, if I remember I'm the mind, if you think about it, you know, when he first asked the question, who are you? And I said, I am my thoughts. Then where do your thoughts come from? The mind. The mind is actually, you could say, behind the thoughts. So the mind can give attention to a thought or choose not to give attention to a thought. So even if I'm not real clear yet on the reality of what I am, even stopping to perceive myself as the mind is, you know, and again, thinking of the mind as attention is still much more helpful than believing I'm my thoughts. Because if I believe I'm my thoughts and then, you know, somebody walks to the door and I have the thought, oh God, I hate her, I'm just going to believe it. And I'm going to feel the emotions of hate, you know, because I am my thoughts. But if I believe I am my mind, even though this isn't ultimate truth, but I'm my mind and I'm attention, I can place that attention where I want, then this is where the ability to choose again comes. The thought comes in, God, I hate her. But then I can say, as a mind, which is behind thoughts, I can say, wait a minute, do I want that thought? Right? No, I don't want that thought. I don't want to feel that hate. I don't want to feel that way about her. And I let it go, and I'm able to embrace this person. So believing that I'm a mind, even though it's not ultimate truth, is still more helpful than believing I'm my thoughts. Right? So I have told you that your mind is tricky because your mind is split. But the tricks of the mind will not fool you if you remember what you are. The thoughts that tell you that you are in the world and subject to the world do not know who you are, so they are not your true thoughts. They are a mirage. If you approach them closely, you will see that they disappear, for they cannot stand in the light of the true desire of your heart, which is you. Your true thoughts are below the thoughts of the world, closer to your heart, because they stem from there. They stem from your truth, and so they are your truth. Listen to your truth and know within who you are. So I've been using the symbol of behind, but now he's using the physical symbol of below. Mind is here and heart is here. And he's starting to point to there's something behind the mind. And the word that's being used here is heart. There's something behind the mind that we didn't get to look at yesterday, but that thing is we're going to call the heart. And that heart is your truth. So thoughts that come from the heart, we can also call your truth because they speak for you. They represent you. So for example, when the girl walks through the door and I have the thought, oh God, I hate her. The next thought that comes, which may not even be words, but it's some sort of a, is that true thought? Or it's some sort of a, do you want that thought, right? It's kind of an inquiry usually that makes me look at that thought again. That thought, which is still a thought, represents myself. Because that thought is starting to have me question the wrong mind with the right mind, or what NTI calls the heart. And so again, what's happening here is what I call discernment is being emphasized. You know, what this teaching is saying is, okay, if you believe you're a mind, then you're not a body. Right? You know, you're not a body. Even if a body gets cut, I mean, there may be a physical pain, but was the mind cut? No. So you're not a body. If you believe you're a mind, you're not the thoughts. Again, you know, you can look at the thoughts. You can make decisions about the thoughts. You know, somehow you're something else. So what are you? Now this is still pointing behind. It's saying you're something else. We're going to call it the heart. You're something else. But that something else is still something that you, as a mind, have the ability to listen to and choose. And so what you really want to do now is you want to start choosing that which comes from the heart. It's kind of like pointing you down, the right road. Because if you start choosing those thoughts that come from the heart, as it's calling it, or, you know, A Course in Miracles would call it the Holy Spirit, if you start choosing those thoughts, those thoughts are going to take you further to the realization of what you really are. So Holy Spirit's not at all concerned with the fact that I've kind of said, stop, I won't go any further than believing I'm a mind right now, you know. It's just using that and saying, okay, so if this is where we're at, here's how you be here. You make choices about what you want to listen to in that mind. You make choices about what you want to believe in that mind. Right? Within the mind, all is one, for there is no separation of any kind. All mind is of one source. So all mind is one through its source, which cannot be apart from itself. Now what this is also saying, this was pointing again before mind. It's saying there's something other than mind. We're going to call it source for now. And it's saying, however, everything that you experience comes from this one source. Which means there's nothing that you experience that can harm you. That's what this really means. There's nothing that you experience that can harm you. And of course, the real reason for that is because we're even prior to the mind. We're awareness itself, and awareness cannot be harmed. But what this is trying to say is, you know, people talk about, what's the language? The good, the beautiful.
The good, and the true, and the beautiful.
The good, the true, and the beautiful.
Or Buddha, Dharma.
Okay, so people talk about that and they say, you know, that is God, and then there's the bad and the ugly and the something else, and that is not God. And what this is saying is if you hold on to that belief, really, if you separate into good and bad, you're going to believe you can be hurt. So this is saying there is no such thing as good and bad. Even that which is perceived as good and bad is ultimately from the same source. And when you truly, truly realize that, everything becomes benign. Nothing can hurt you. It's kind of like saying all there is love, right? So all mind is of one source. So all mind is one through its source, which cannot be apart from itself. Then love one another, for you are of one mind. This statement is asking us to, or at least asking me, to imitate the source, which is love, by loving. That's what this is asking me to do. Imitate the source, which is love, by loving. And it's asking me to love everyone. The good, the bad, the beautiful, and the ugly, right? It's asking me not to distinguish. It's asking me to love everyone, to imitate the source. Love one another, for you are of one mind. In loving one another, you love your truth. In this love, you are one. Amen. So for me, the most important part of these last two chapters now, although they were still helpful to me then, obviously, but the most important part of these last two chapters here is what I see now is I see Holy Spirit working with me when I took a stand and said, this is all the further I'm going to go right now. Right? I'm not going to look back here. I'm not ready to look back here. I'm going to stand right here, and this is all the farther I'm going to go. And then what Holy Spirit said was, okay then. Okay then. Let's work with you right here. And the work that then occurred with me right there laid the groundwork where later I was ready to move on, and I was ready to begin to look at what I call before mind. Right? So, another important thing that for me is in these last two chapters of 2 Corinthians is the realization that we are perfectly loved, perfectly led, and never guilty. It's not like we have to get it right, for example, right? But what we probably do need to do is take the advice that's in this last chapter, and that's to spend more time with this voice within. This voice within will work with us right where we're at, even if we're refusing to budge, even if we're refusing to look in a certain direction. You know, we could have the thought, we could have a teaching being given to us over and over and over again from all kinds of directions, and we can say, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me. Well, if we want to say, yeah, but that doesn't apply to me, and that's the stand we're taking, Spirit doesn't condemn us for that. Spirit doesn't walk away from us. Spirit works with us where we're at, always. And always, Spirit points towards home, points towards truth. So, you know, the Course in Miracles talks about the little bit of willingness. Even if we may have closed one door and said, nope, I'm not willing to accept that right now, as long as we leave other doors open, that's Spirit will work with us in that direction. And it's also important to remember that's true for other people too. You know, sometimes we can look at someone and we can see when they're closing a door. We can see when there's something there that's helpful for them, if they would accept it, and we can see that they're refusing to accept it. And actually, we can just say that's okay. Because the fact that they're refusing to accept some idea is not truly a hindrance if there's willingness somewhere else. Right? Because Spirit's going to work with them in whatever way they're open. So there's never a problem, to be honest.
That's hard. Just in general, like, even if it's not spirituality, if you see something and you're just like, why can't you just understand this? It'll help you so much, but somebody's not ready then.
Yeah.
But eventually, like, something that, you know, if you're lucky enough to be around them later on, you can see, like, they opened up.
They opened up, and you can't make
when
somebody
ready. Yeah,
you can't make somebody ready if they're not ready.
But it's hard when you see like how much it's going to help somebody in some way in their life, even if it's just something.
Like if you know they're suffering, you mean?
Yeah, or just if they just refuse to like listen really, you know, if you're just even trying to show somebody how a computer works and they're like that close, but they just won't open their mind to one little concept or something, it's really hard to not want to project that and get that out of shape because they won't, you know, open to it.
Yeah, it is hard. But, but what we can notice, if we want, is that when we are upset by somebody else not opening our minds, their minds, we're suffering.
Yeah.
It's kind of feeling like it just does me more harm.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of worry about it.
Exactly. And so then maybe we can start you know, letting go and just letting them be where they're at because it feels better.
The thing that's to me the most important thing to know is that in reality we're all home. And like the Course in Miracles talks about something called true charity, and it says that true charity is seeing someone as being far beyond where they appear to be right now and recognize that they are already home. And so even if they seem to be being a butthead right now, if you can just look at them and know that everything is fine and they're okay, they're exactly where they're supposed to be and you're exactly where you're supposed to be and everything is just moving along just as perfectly as it could ever be. And just being in that acceptance has been so helpful to me because I see that, especially with my kids.
You want them just to understand something like, I can see how this is going to save you a bunch of trouble for this lesson, but that you have to experience it or come to it on your own.
Exactly.
So that's probably, like, I can see myself having problems with that. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So we have a whole month before we're together again. So if we look at these last two chapters, you know, which again I call kind of, I'm going to say mucked up this time. They're kind of mucked up because Regina got scared and wasn't willing to look before mind. I was not at all willing to let go of the belief that I was a mind. And in fact, I'll tell you a funny story. If I go back and read Luke now, NTI Luke, all NTI Luke is about is letting go of thinking. That's all it's about. When I scribed it, I didn't know that. I didn't see that. I didn't realize until I got to Revelation. You know how much I scribed? I didn't realize until I got to Revelation that Holy Spirit was asking me to let go of my thinking, let go of my mind, like surrender my mind. I didn't realize that. So that's how attached I was to my mind, my thinking, and to be absolutely honest, me. Because I was able to see I'm not my thoughts, but the truth is I wasn't able to see I'm not my mind because that is our core belief. That's what we identify with the most is our mind. You know, so my unwillingness to look before the mind and see that there's something here that's me that's before the mind is not an unusual unwillingness. Most of us believe we are our minds. So again, I put on the brakes here. I said, I'm not willing to look. And so Spirit worked with me. And by the time I got to Revelation, I was starting to see it a little bit, which is nice. I started to understand in Revelation. And then after that, I started to really see and start being willing to let go, especially when Inner Ramana came. But again, what we need now is an assignment. An assignment that can stay with us all month. And my pages aren't turning anymore. My iPad has quit working. It'll go forward, it won't go backwards. There it goes backwards. So the assignment just came to me. All right, so since what Regina did here was Regina was unwilling to see that she was not a mind, maybe what we could do over the next month is start noticing how we think we are our mind. Just start noticing that. You know, we may talk about, you know, I'm awareness. We may talk about blah, 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 blah. But how do we actually identify with mind? Or when are we actually identifying with mind? And don't worry about necessarily doing anything with it. Just start noticing that identification that's there. And then if there are any that you think are really good little tricks that you want to share, or great ahas that you want to share, since we won't be together for a whole month, go ahead and write them down so that you can bring it back when we come back together, and you can say, boy, you know, I was looking at this and I realized, boy, I really think I'm my mind there. You know, I can see now how attached I am to my mind. One of the stories that I tell, so you've probably heard it, when I really started realizing how much I thought I was my mind was during when teachings of Inner Ramana was coming. And Inner Ramana was teaching the practice of surrender, asking within, what am I to do now? What am I to do now? And I started finding I really didn't want to do that. And it was on little stuff. Like I remember one day, I think I wanted to go check the mail. And when I asked, what am I to do now, the intuition came to go make the bed. It was like, no, I want to check the mail. And when I started really looking at that, and I was upset, don't get me wrong, I was really upset. I preferred to check the mail, and I wasn't waiting for anything. There's not anything I was looking for in the mail. But I really wanted to check the mail more than go make the bed.
Question of will.
Yeah, it was a question of will. This was, check the mail was my idea. And I wanted to do what I wanted to do. That's exactly what it was. And that's when I started to see just how strong my attachment to mine was. Because there was no other reason in the world for why I wanted to check the mail other than it was my idea.
And the making the bed was not your idea.
And the making the bed was not, it came through intuition. And then I was fully identified with mind. And if I'd been identified with intuition, then I would have seen making the bed as my will. So the question is, which one am I identified with, right? So it was through that practice of asking within that I began to realize just how strongly I was identified with mind. And the truth is, you can't break that attachment until you see it. You know, anything that you don't see can't be healed. So try to notice when you are really attached to your own idea, your own point of view, your own mind. And just notice it. Say, ah, there it is. Look how attached I am to the mind, as if that's who I am. And you take this away, and you're taking me away. Right? Okay. So I'll go ahead and stop the recorder, and we can go into a little bit of silence.